A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 145. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Crooked House. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Crooked House, a set of three linked ghost stories that appeared on our screens in 2008. And in fact, they were a Christmas broadcast. So it was Christmas 2008, broadcast on three consecutive nights on the BBC4 digital channel here in the UK.
That's right. And they were written and produced by Mark Gatiss.
Yay.
Yes. We've talked about him many times, and he is well known in British TV circles, especially in sci-fi and fantasy. And this, of course, is more of a ghost story and not strictly science fiction, but it fits into the genre very well.
Yes, we like to drift out into ghosts and horror stories along the way, and some fun ghost stories from a British Invaders favourite, as you say, Brian, here for us to talk about.
Absolutely. So the setup of the story is about a young school history teacher who has found this old door knocker in his garden, which is this odd-looking, very old sort of metal door knocker that's partly worn away, and it's outside in his near his new house. And he takes this to the curator of the local museum to say, you know, geez, what is this strange old thing? And it goes from there.
That's right, and it is a strange old thing. It's an odd-looking door knocker with a sort of slightly deformed face on it, I guess, with a big metal ring for the knocker. And as you say, he takes it to the museum. He meets with the curator, who tells him that it probably came from a nearby manor house, which was demolished, and that the manor house was called Geep Manor, and that it's a house with a strange reputation. Which obviously sets up what's to come.
Yes, absolutely. A house that is no longer there, that had many stories about it. And of course, we go from here to hear about the different stories about this old house as they're told to us by the curator. So there are a number of characters involved, of course. To start with, in this sort of main outer story that the other stories will be told within it, Ben Morris is sort of the main character of this. He's a history teacher, as we said. He has recently broken up with his pregnant girlfriend, and he's having some trouble coping with things and coping with the solitude and the like. And, you know, he's new in town and adjusting. And he's played by Lee Ingleby.
Yes, that's right. As you say, he's finding it slightly lonely. He is adjusting to things, just having moved to the area and bought this new house. And here he is meeting the curator of the local museum, who is, of course, played by Mark Gatiss himself, who is a sort of strange, slightly fusty museum curator who sits in his storeroom making cups of tea for young Ben, and his storeroom is filled with strange items, and you get the impression that there are stories behind all these items. And of course, as we're going to find out, there's stories behind this door knocker and the strange house it came from. And that's, well, as you can tell, this is the framing device that's going to be used to tell these ghost stories. And it's quite a good one. It works quite well, I think, between young Ben Morris and the museum curator.
Yes, absolutely. The curator being the person with all of the old artifacts and old objects that are local to the area. And in the same way, all of the old stories and little bits of information that relate to the same local area.
Okay, then we've got another teacher, Jess, played by Julia Dolkin. She works with Ben, and she's going to be the other person that he'll turn to when he starts looking into the events of Geep Manor a bit more. And of course, she's also his friend and someone he turns to talk about some of the stuff in his life that's not going so well, such as his relationship with his girlfriend that has just come to an end. So that's Jess.
And then we get to a couple of the much older characters from an earlier time. Sir Roger Widdowson was the original owner of Geep Manor, and his story relates to his meddling with the dark arts and links to, you know, these ideas of the house being haunted or things being wrong with the house. It somehow attracts things. And Widdowson and his activities are directly connected with that. And he was played by Darren Brown, the TV illusionist.
Yes, that's right. Slightly unusual, just this small role. But there he has been played by a very famous British TV illusionist who doesn't do a lot of acting, I think. But there he is playing Sir Roger. And we also glimpse Sir Roger's wife, Lady Widdowson, played by the actress Vanessa Havell. And we see them in an oil painting, which the museum curator has in the storeroom. And I think he uses that to tell some of the stories about Geep Manor.
Yes, absolutely. And those are really the characters relating to this framing device, outer story and the story of the house itself. But we get into the individual couple of other stories as we go along, and those have characters of their own that we'll touch on as we go.
Okay, so let's get into some of those individual stories, and we'll begin
with the first story, which is in the first episode. This was screened as three short episodes. The first story was called The Wainscoting, and it was set in the late 18th century, I think 1786. And this speculator, Joseph Bloxham, played by Philip Jackson, has recently made a great deal of money in this project that apparently he got a number of people to invest in, and he was able to get out of this project before it fell apart and went south, and the others were not able to do that. So he was able to do very well himself, but possibly at the expense of a number of other people that he knew and people that he had persuaded to be involved in this project. So his morality appears to be a little bit gray at the least, and he seems to have some things to answer for, perhaps. And he buys Geep Manor, which already existed and had been there for quite some time, and he is having it renovated and having new things done with it to update it and make it nice and modern from an 18th century perspective.
That's right. Yes, here he is in sort of typical fashion, as you know, the man who's made good out of dodgy deals, and he's buying the big house and he's doing it up. And he's having problems with his builder in a fashion that's probably very familiar to many of us. And in particular, they have a problem with the wainscoting, the title of this story. And wainscoting is the wood panelling that was used to cover bare stone walls. And in particular, there are odd noises from behind the wainscoting. And there's a stain that seems to grow larger. And, you know, without wanting to give too much away, there are things going bump in the night. He's in this house by himself, and it's not altogether straightforward, and it's a spooky experience for him.
Yes, there are strange things that we hear and strange things that we see in this room with this paneling, this wainscoting in it. And we start to wonder and start to hear about, well, where did they get this wood that they're using for the wainscoting? And, you know, is it really this, you know, the best quality wood he could get? Or is there something funny with the material that was used for it? And is there a spirit of vengeance that is haunting this house?
Yep, and we're off and running with a good story, a good ghost story to begin with in the first episode. And then we'll be back to the Ben Morris and the museum curator, who will then link us on and into the next story and so on.
It looks old.
It is. I think I know where it came from.
Yeah?
Yes. What is that, do you think? A man? An animal?
You said you knew where it came from?
There was a house near here. Keep Manor. Demolished a few years ago. But it had an interesting reputation.
Ghosts.
Would you like a cup of tea?
So, turning to our production notes, as we do, this was another project from the team of producer and director Damon Thomas and Mark Gatiss. They originally met when they were working on an adaptation of the book The Worst Journey in the World in 2007, which was also for the BBC. And after this show, Crooked House, they would go on to make The First Men in the Moon, which we talked about in British Invaders episodes 120 and 121, and that appeared in 2010. So they've become quite a team producing some of this genre television that we like to look at.
Yes, absolutely. And after the success of The Worst Journey in the World, that was quite successful on BBC4. And at that point, BBC4 asked Mark Gatiss what did he want to do next for a new project. And he immediately came back and said he wanted to do a Christmas ghost story. And the BBC4 thought a single half-hour ghost story might get lost in the schedule of things a little bit with everything that goes on TV around Christmas.
That's right, yes. So instead, they decided to make a series of ghost stories. And originally, there were going to be four stories. And Mark Gatiss had the idea for a fourth tale, which would have apparently involved a fake TV psychic who comes up against some real ghosts or apparitions or something like that. But that story would be dropped to allow for a sort of 90-minute movie length, which they could then package these three episodes into. And as we've said, all these episodes, all these stories written by Mark Gatiss himself. And quite interesting, I guess we would predict it for Mark Gatiss, Brian, but when he was asked by the BBC what he wanted to do, he immediately turned back to one of his loves, which was the BBC Christmas ghost stories.
Certainly Mark Gatiss is very enthusiastic about many of these older British sci-fi and fantasy and ghost story type productions, so it's always nice to see him delving into these types of things. The idea of the door knocker was based on this Maori death mask that Mark Gatiss had bought in an antiques shop in Paris. And, you know, he had put it on his wall and was woken up one night by a loud bang with the thing falling off the wall. And, you know, he had, you know, just seemingly odd things happen with this kind of thing, which he fully acknowledges, you know, were coincidental, but just had a little bit of a strange feel to them somehow. And he actually brought it to the New Zealand embassy to have it returned and go in a museum. And he was sort of quite satisfied to send it back and, you know, not see it again. And that sort of gave him the idea of this object that would be linked back to where it came from. And he thought about the door knocker in A Christmas Carol and wondered about this idea of this door knocker from an old house being attached to a modern house and what sort of spooky ideas might come from that.
Yes, and it is quite fun the way that Mark Gatiss came up with the idea for this show. And you can hear him telling that story about the Maori mask on the DVD release, which we'll tell you about in a moment. And it's quite a fun story, isn't it, Brian?
Yes, it is.
So we've got quite an impressive cast, many of whom had worked with Mark Gatiss before, some of whom would also go on to appear in later works, in small roles in First Men in the Moon. So Lee Ingleby, who plays our sort of main character, Ben Morris, he has a very small role in that show. And it's all directed by Damon Thomas, although admittedly this is done on quite a limited budget. They didn't get much of a budget from BBC4. And so we have lots of locations having to do clever things, doubling up as different places. And I think they had to be fairly sort of clever with their shooting and filming to get this all together. And they didn't have an awful lot of time for it, I believe, Brian.
Yes, that's right. They were using Dorney Court in Windsor, Berkshire. And that gave them this big old house that they could use as Geep Manor. But the same location and the same house could be used as about three or four of the different locations that they needed within that. They did have a different location for the modern house, but even that was not very far away. So they set things up so they would not need to move from place to place very much, because that, of course, can be very time-consuming. And they did the entire shoot for effectively a 90-minute feature film-type production in 15 days, which is incredibly quick for this and very compact. And much of the reason they were able to do that was by having nearly everything located in this one location at Dorney Court. They were also able to save on production costs by shooting on video rather than film. They shot on high-definition video for this, which actually worked very well. You sometimes think that this type of spooky ghost production really looks best on film, but they made it look very good and have just the right feel that they wanted by doing it on video, which was really nice to see.
Very good. Yes, it does look very nice. As we've said, this was broadcast originally as the three separate episodes, which went out on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of December 2008. And as we'll talk about a little bit later on in our next episode, there's a sort of tradition of ghost stories going out on BBC channels at around about those times at Christmas.
That would have been in the late evening at some point, I think.
Yes, this would have to be after the 9 o'clock watershed because, again, as we'll talk about, this is quite a scary show in places. And it was a success, critical and a rating success. And then they rebundled it as the 90-minute feature, and that was shown on television again the following Christmas. So, you know, they did quite well, as you say, a frenetic shoot, but good results for the BBC.
Yes, they got a production that looked very good out of this rather limited budget and rather limited time putting something together. So it was really nice to see how well that worked.
Okay, so the availability of this show here in Region 2, I've been watching the Region 2 DVD release, which includes the episodes cut together into the 90 minutes sort of single feature. Although I think on there you can see the little trails that ran at the end of each individual episode to tell you what was coming tomorrow night. There's also the making of documentary and a commentary by Mark Gatiss and Damon Thomas and some of the actors who pop in and out of the different episodes. So it's quite a fun little DVD release, very cheap at the moment, £6 on Amazon.co.uk. Also available to rent on Love Film, and even cheaper on iTunes, where it's currently £4.99. So quite a good buy over here in Region 2. But in Region 1, Brian,
in Region 1, it has not been released on DVD. It is available as an import. The Region 2 version is available as an import on Amazon.com for about $28. So really, you would be probably best off in Canada or the US ordering straight from Amazon.co.uk, and even with shipping and everything, assuming you can play a Region 2 DVD, you will get something at a pretty reasonable price.
Okay. There are bits of it on YouTube. I don't think there are complete episodes, but there are parts there you can find. But if you can get hold of it, obviously, then perhaps you might want to do so before our next episode.
Absolutely. It's definitely a fun watch. So next time, we will talk about the second and third stories in Crooked House, which are definitely interesting ones and fun ones to talk about.
Okay, we'll also perhaps compare it to some of the other famous BBC Christmas ghost stories and talk a little bit more about that particular tradition on the BBC. Plus, as ever, we'll give our own personal reviews and recommendations about this show. So lots to come back for.
Absolutely, lots of good stuff still to talk about. You can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us on britishinvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so if you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you can find us there. We also have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there.
Yes, and the Facebook page quite busy at the moment. Do come and join us. Or join us on the Voice of Geeks streaming radio network at vognetwork.com. And if you come along, we have a regular slot twice a week for our shows to go out. And as ever, if you've joined us from Vogue Network, welcome.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, this is Eamon in England also signing off.